I wonder if you parents among us today will agree with me when I say that one of the toughest tasks as a parent is to teach one's children the value of things. Somewhere along the way, we all have to learn that for everything we desire in life, there is a cost. There's a relationship in life between what we want and what it is going to take to get it. There is a cost. And so we must learn to count the cost and to pay the cost as it is required in money or time or effort. I once, long ago, saw a sign in the post office that read, "If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is." And I think that sign was there to warn people against the dangers of mail fraud come-ons. You get in the mail claims that you can get something for nothing. I continue to think this is one of the great lures behind the gambling industry. Deep down, people want to believe that it's possible to get something by luck without cost or commitment or time or effort. And yet, as we say, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Now, in this morning's gospel reading, we're told by Luke that great crowds are following Jesus. Multitudes, Luke says. Jesus is becoming a success, and who can argue with numbers? But when Jesus sees these crowds, what does he do? He tells them to count the cost of following him. No king would go to war without first sitting down and contemplating if he has enough troops and firepower to win the war. Otherwise, he'd be advised to instead sue for peace. Likewise, Jesus says a contractor would look like a fool to begin a building project without first counting how many bricks he's going to need. Otherwise, he'll get halfway through, run out of building materials, and look ridiculous before his peers, the neighbors, and the Better Business Bureau. As we have agreed, this is a lesson we've all got to learn. There is a cost. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Count the cost. And yet, I think this is a particularly hard lesson for the church to hear. Because in our day and time, there are always those advocates of what has come to be called the church growth movement, talk about the need to create user-friendly churches. Churches that are accessible to everyone. In the user-friendly church, anybody can walk in off the street and immediately get the point. In the user-friendly church, all the hymns are as singable as a Disney show tune. All the concepts in the sermon can be digested, comprehended by anyone who listens, regardless of your learning or your background or your experience. In the user-friendly church, everything is offered without a cost. Doesn't the church speak of God's amazing grace? Aren't churches supposed to be accessible, inclusive? Don't we sing that we want to come to God just as we are? And there does seem to be a definite correlation between church growth principles like user-friendly churches and large congregations. Those churches are seeming to grow. Great crowds are attracted to them. But in this morning's gospel, these crowds seem to Jesus not to be a sign of success, but a problem that needs addressing. His sermon to the crowds that day sounds like an assault. A means to ensure that there are some empty pews in next Sunday service. To these great crowds, Jesus tells them that there is a cost, and he urges them to count the cost. We try to say that. When you join Rotary, they hand you a card, a lapel pin, and give you the handshake. And that little exercise makes you as much a member of Rotary as you will ever be. However, when you join the church, we grab hold of you. We throw you in the water, we hold you down under three times, we tell you you've died, and that you're born again, and that God owns your life. And I'm sure that that baptismal rite is meant to tell you something about the cost of being a member. We may come singing "Just as I Am," but here is a God who loves us enough not to leave us as he finds us. Change is required, and change may be painful, however reluctant we are to pay the price. In my last congregation, the Christian Education Committee decided to recommend that we refrain from baptizing anyone who hadn't been instructed in the basics of the Christian faith. If we were going to continue to baptize babies, we were going to have to start instructing the parents in the meaning of the church and the meaning of the Christian faith and, indeed, the meaning of baptism. No longer could we assume that people knew about these things by simply being born in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We were going to have to spend time teaching them. Well, when this was presented to the vestry, a number of the members of the vestry were shocked. You can't start demanding things of people. People are accustomed to calling up the church and saying, "We want the baby done next Sunday." You're going to offend people. And then one woman stood up and said, "Have any of you tried to have a baby around here recently? When you go to the obstetrician, the doctor says, 'I'll be glad to deliver your baby, but I require all my patients go to a six-week Lamaze class. If you miss any of the classes, you have to make them up or I won't deliver your baby.'" She continued, "Now, why does the doctor require 6 weeks of classes? I'll tell you why. It's because the doctor believes in what he's doing. Do we?" So, with that, the vestry accepted the requirement. We would perform no more baptisms until we were sure some effort had been put forward to make people aware of what they were getting into, until we helped them sit down and count the cost. And I'll tell you what surprised me. I fully expected young couples to be angry when they brought their babies forward for baptism and heard that we had requirements of them. However, I never once had a couple refuse to go through the class. Instead, I found the young people were grateful that we were taking them seriously. They were willing, even eager, to come to these classes, glad to be part of a people who took what they had to offer seriously. Which leads me to a new insight regarding this tough gospel reading for this morning. I tell you, not only is there a cost to everything important in life, and we ought to count the cost, but you are eager to pay it. I think you are looking for something worth giving your life to. Maybe that's the reason you've turned up here on this beautiful Sunday morning. You are willing, even eager, for something so large, so true, so demanding that there is a cost. When I first came here as rector, a woman came up to me and said, "You have spent years learning how to interpret the Bible. I want you to do a Bible study for me." Not the kind of Bible study we usually do in our small group, where we gather in the morning, spend 30 minutes eating, and then spend another 30 minutes trading our ignorance about the Bible. "I want serious Bible study. I want to be given the opportunity to dig in." And it intrigued me that there was at least one person in this congregation who cared about serious Bible study. I have come to the conclusion, through that experience and others, that we in the church make a great mistake when we pitch everything to the lowest common denominator, when we put everything on the bottom shelf. Perhaps that suits the majority of people, the crowds, but not everybody. There are some people, maybe some of you people, for whom life is so confusing, so perplexing, so challenging, the questions so unanswerable, that you know in your heart of hearts that if there is an answer, if there is anything that can speak to you that will make a difference in your life, it is not going to come simply. It will not be three easy steps offered without cost. It will not be some simple slogan you can squeeze onto a bumper sticker. It will not come cheap. It will be something that demands something of you. You will have to give something. You will have to change in order to get better. There is a cost to everything important. Christian discipleship cannot be made over into something trivial, unimportant, and easy. Your life isn't that way, and the cross of Jesus isn't that way either. And the thing I have learned living with you is that some of you, maybe most of you, are eager to pay the price. A friend of mine over at Wash U told me that a couple of years ago, they had a recruiter there from the Teach for America program. Do you know Teach for America? Teach for America is an organization that recruits some of our nation's best college and university students to go and teach in the most impossible teaching situations in America. This recruiter for Teach for America looked out at the crowd of students that night, and she began by saying, "I don't really know why I'm here tonight. I can tell just by looking at you that you're probably uninterested in what I have to say. This is one of the best universities in America. You are all successful. That's why you're here, to become even greater successes on Wall Street or in law school. And I stand here trying to recruit you people for the most difficult job you'll ever have in your life. I'm out looking for people who want to go into a burned-out classroom in Watts or teach biology or to go into a one-room schoolhouse in West Virginia and teach kids from 6 to 13 how to read. Why, we had three teachers killed just last year in their classrooms. And I can tell just by looking at you that none of you want to throw away your lives on anything like that. On the other hand, if there is somebody here who might be interested, I've got some brochures. I'm going to leave them down here. I'll be glad to speak to anyone who's interested. The meeting's over." And with that, the students jumped out of their seats, rushed down the aisle, rushed up front, and started fighting over the pamphlets, just dying to apply for Teach for America. You see, people are hungry to give their lives to something more important than their lives. It's a fact, not only that everything costs something, but that in our better moments, we are eager to pay the price. And so I ask you, do you believe that today's gospel from Luke is good news or bad news, these tough words of Jesus? When you heard the gospel read this morning, you may have thought they were bad news, tough words. But perhaps in your life and mine, these tough words are good news. Jesus comes asking us to pay the price. And in our better moments, we are just dying to pay the price. Just dying. Amen.